The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you to the final hour on this Friday afternoon, early Friday night. Dawn Staley will be joining us shortly. She is, the national championship women's coach at the University of South Carolina. Mike is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Mike.
Oh, am I on, Ball?
Yes, you are. Hey there, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon, Ball. Well, another year is come and gone, and Alabama reigns supreme. You know, Paul, there's some teams out there that recruit at an elite level, but Alabama's different. From year to year, the names and numbers may change, but the product remains the same, brother. And there ain't no cure for it. And that half the coaches will be gone next year, and it won't make a bit of difference. Nick probably, he's got plans, backing up plans that back them plans up.
Well, hard to argue with any of that. John is up next in Huntsville, Alabama. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
John, we're doing great. Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay. Before I get to what I was going to talk about, everybody talk about Coach Saban. And look, what's happening with Coach Saban, what's happening with Alabama football, that train left a station back in the 60s with Coach Bryant. And if you listen to Coach Saban in his speech, he alluded to that. He alluded and gave credit to the Bryant family for everything that they've done to support him. So this isn't, you know, Coach Saban built on it. And there were times that Alabama was in the wilderness we all know what Alabama went through, but, you know, so breaking Alabama up, and I think it's more we're showing a sign of mediocrity with this guy out of California talking about fair weather fans in California. That doesn't make sense to me. And it sounds like, to me, this is everybody getting a trophy generation, mediocrity. So it doesn't make sense to me. That's not competitive football. But anyway, what I called about is I saw something on the internet about possibly Kevin Sumlin going to Alabama as a running back coach. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes. I heard something the other day that he had talked to Coach Saban, and I'm not exactly sure whether it was an analyst position or on the field, but I do believe that has happened, and it's interesting. Hey, appreciate the call. Lisa is up next. Hey, Lisa, you're in Tennessee, and we appreciate your call.
Hi, Paul. This is Lisa, and I'm a longtime listener and a first-time caller.
Wonderful. Great to have you on.
Had a solution for the problem about college football ratings going down and out west and in California. I thought it'd be a great idea for the University of Alabama to move to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
War Eagle.
Thank you. That's funny. How about Kent, who is in Georgia? Hey, Kent, you're on the air. Appreciate the call. Yeah. Maybe not. It's Friday night. What can I do? Mike is up next. Hey, Mike, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thinking of listening to this gentleman from the USA Today talking about the Saban scenario and college football going down, I want to tell you a little story quickly here. My son, when he was in high school, played basketball on a team with a young man that transferred from Southern California to Louisville, Kentucky. And I was sitting in the stands with his dad at a game one day, and I just said, why in the world did you move from Southern Cal to Louisville? And I grew up in Kentucky. I grew up in Louisville. And he said, well, I'll tell you why. The schools are terrible. The drugs are rampant and accepted. Taxes were out of this world. Immigration is out of control. real estate prices are insanely high. I didn't want to raise my family there anymore. So maybe that's a reason why a lot of these kids are coming east, the southeast. They want to live somewhere else. They want their kids to have a better life. And I think maybe that's part of this situation, too. Plus, they want to go someplace where there's a great coach, and Coach Saban is the best, and the Southeastern Conference is the best. So that's my little lip on why I think people leave that part of the country, and football isn't as good out there. I think this is going on. And the interesting fact is, this was 20 years ago. 20 years ago when this story was told. So it's worse now than it was back then.
Mike, I agree with you. I spent a reasonable amount of time until recently in L.A., and you better win the national championship to get noticed out there, because you have so many other competing interests. You know, you got a couple of NFL teams. You now have two NBA teams, and the Lakers are just they own the town. The Dodgers on the same level. So unless Southern Cal is in the top three or four in the country, they're not going to get noticed by anyone out there. And that's really the issue, too. And I realize we live in a more global world where young people aren't putting on the local TV stations or reading the newspapers like they did 30 or 40 years ago. But they still want to know, they still want to be recognized where they live. And they're not being, and that's why the high school quarterbacks are bailing out of there. That's why the high profile players are going to Ohio State and Clemson and Alabama, because there's nothing happening out there.
That's very true. I agree with that completely. I think that's part of the whole thing. So until they figure that out, and I don't see that it happening out there.
Yeah, Mike, I will tell you. This year was different, of course, but in the previous two falls, I spent three nights a week in New York during the football season because of the ESPN shows. And I mean, I had never been outside the South during football season, and I'm walking around Lower Manhattan, Midtown. Nobody's stopping me to talk about college football like they would in Atlanta or Birmingham or Gainesville or Nashville. I mean, it was like, and when someone did notice me or recognize me from one of the shows I'd been on, they were asking me about the Giants and about the Jets and maybe a perfunctory, hey, is Alabama going to win it all this year? But they had no idea what was happening because they just don't care. Same way in Chicago, same way in... I mean, and that's a, but that's not going to hurt. College football doesn't need that. People will watch something compelling regardless. And I just think we're getting hung up on a lot of things. But for Brent, and I know Brent, to cry me a river for Southern California, I really don't care.
Yeah, I agree. One other thing, and I'll shut up. Monday night after the playoff is a terrible time to have the national championship. So move the game to a better time day of the week to have it.
Yeah, no, they either figure out, you can't have it on Saturday. I know a lot of people say, well, what about Saturday? Well, the NFL has moved into that weekend. You could have it Friday, which I don't think is a particularly good night for anything sports-wise. It's a weak television night. Or you just move it up. You end the season on January 1st and start it earlier. I've always wondered college football. I mean, I'm ready for college football on August 20th. We did a game. It was 2 years ago when Florida played Miami. I think it was on August 23rd. And yeah, it's hot. But the reason I believe you should start the season earlier is you're not competing with the NFL. You have two or three weeks by yourself. Because the NFL is a monster, and it sucks the life out of everything else that exists.
I agree completely. Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you. This show where we talk about what's interesting to us, but being in New York those two falls, and being on the ESPN shows. I mean, I got a good taste of it. until a certain point in the season, college football does not really get noticed. It only, on an individual week, a big game will get attention, but until you get close to the playoffs, the even ESPN, as much of an investment as it has in college football, is primarily a Saturday event. It's a Saturday sport, all morning long. But on a Monday, after a college football weekend on ESPN, it's about the NFL. We'll take a break. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. John is up next in Atlanta. Hey, John. Good evening to you.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
I am doing wonderful. Thanks, John.
That's great. I got a little story for you.
Okay.
I'm from Birmingham. I was born and raised in Birmingham, moved to Atlanta back when young teenage boy, went to work with Ford Motor Company, worked with Ford for years and years, retired from Ford. But I was coming down... You still got me, Paul?
Yes, we do, John. You sound great.
Okay, buddy. And years ago, my wife and I was coming home. I think was coming home for a ball game, maybe at Legion Field. And I got around Anniston, and I got to channel surfing. And I picked you up. And I got to my brother-in-law's. And I said, who in the world is that guy on that radio? And he said, that guy can stir up more trouble than anybody you ever seen in your life. And he said, that's Paul Feinbaum. Well, from that day forward, we have been a fan of yours and love the show. And it's interesting. It's educational. And I just wanted to call and let you know that we appreciate it. And appreciate the effort and the time you put into it. And the people you have on there is great. But I want to tell you a little story, and I'll let you go, about Bear Bryant and about Saban. Bear Bryant, years ago when we were kids, when the Bear Bryant show come on Sunday evening, us kids, I'm 75 years old, so that's been a long time ago, us kids would be outside. And we didn't have all these telephones and hand games. We had footballs, baseballs, ball bats, and ball gloves. And my mother would come to the door and she'd say, okay, Coach Bryant's coming on. Y'all get in here. So we'd throw everything down and head for the TV. And We just grew up being Alabama fans, Bear Bryant fans, but Bear Bryant is not Coach Saban. Coach Saban's not Bear Bryant, when they are, and both of them got their place. And I believe both of them got their place in Alabama fans' heart, and I believe they'll be there for a long time. And it was just I remember those games at Legion Field years ago. That place would be packed out, standing room only. There'd be people in there didn't even have a ticket. And,
no, you're right. Well, John, thank you. By the way, thank you for the kind words. I really appreciate that. My job, was, when I was a young reporter, I covered Alabama for Coach Bryant's last 2 years. I had to watch that Sunday show start to finish and you know, see if maybe he said something newsworthy, which, by the way, he never did. But it was, if any of you want to you know, get a chuckle, YouTube the old Bear Bryant show. That will be a trip. Belvedere in Austin, Texas is up next.
Hello, Paul.
Belvedere, good afternoon to you.
Let me tell you this. In all sincerity, you are so fantastic. You know what? You are beloved by more people than you know. And the reason is that I love your program in the way you address people. You're so cool, you're so smooth, and you're so fantastic. That said, what do you think about Sarkisian coming to Tech?
Belvedere, thank you very much for saying that. I think it's a good move for them. I think there's no guarantee, and you follow that program pretty closely. If Tom Herman flopped there, anyone can, because I thought he was about as close to a sure thing as I've ever seen. So the key is the staff. I think he's done a very good job of building it. He's a wonderful evaluator and a teacher. He just needs to accomplish one thing in particular, and that is not allow people to interfere with his stewardship of the program. What I mean by that is, are all the people that think they own the program do not. The University of Texas is for all the people. It's not for about 25 fat cat oil tycoons who think it's theirs.
Well, I'm not sure about how, you know, I'm part of the deal on the people you're talking about, but we have the best interest at heart, really, we do. And Tom Herman, he had the personality of your furniture.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, you know, Sark is a little more charming. And you know, the thing that Sark has an advantage. His big advantage right now is that he's been there before. He's been the head coach at Washington. He's been the head coach at Southern Cal. Those are two big programs in big media markets, Seattle and L.A. And I think this will not overwhelm him as it did Tom Herman. I know Herman was, you know, had a job before that, but he really was not prepared for what he got into. Marilyn is up next. Hello, Marilyn.
Oh, hi, Paul. It's good to talk to you again.
Thank you so much.
Well, what I was going to talk about was, I actually forgot the guy's name, but you had him on just a little while ago from USA Today.
Yeah, Brent.
And he's, you know, talking about trying to level the playing field, you know, for Nick Saban, or with Nick Saban. But, you know, I was thinking, you know, and you just talked about Tom Herman, Texas. I think all these colleges are expecting way too much, and like they only give what Charlie Strong, to name you know a few, Tom Herman, 3 or 4 years, then they get rid of them, get somebody else, and they have these huge buybacks. I mean, it's not just Texas but other colleges as well. And then what they don't wait is to get a winning record, and that's what the college players want. They want to go to somewhere where they can have a shot at the NFL, and a winning coach is why they go to Alabama. But these other colleges don't really, they don't give coaches a chance to get a winning record. Anyway, that's one of my arguments. The second one is that Nick is pumping out head coaches for the past decade, so he's actually, you know, giving back to the system. You know, and of course, Sark is just one example. And then he mentioned something about, you know, the BCS, where Oklahoma and Michigan, a few more, and I'm thinking, well, Oklahoma, they've had their shot, and Michigan obviously don't want to have a shot because they keep the same coach. I mean, Harbaugh's had, what, 10 years?
But Marilyn, yeah, he's been there, I think, 7 years. You know, but back to your other point, though, I want to make sure people understand. I agree, if you have longevity, it is great. But fans see what these coaches are making. They're all making $4, $5, $6, $7, $8 million. And none of us can relate to that. So when a coach makes $6 million a year and he doesn't win, and with the world like it is with social media, everyone having an opinion and athletic directors hearing it, and shows like this probably don't help, but they're part of the tapestry of college football, the pressure gets ratcheted up. And you start to think, if I stay with this coach, where am I going to be in a year? Am I going to be any better or worse? So you get a quick an itchy trigger finger. And also, in Texas is more unusual than most, because they did not go out and get a coach significantly more attractive than the one they had. They just got a coach that was on the rise after falling, versus a coach that they had already had that had pretty much run his course. And the second thing, and I don't mean to be so long-winded, they went after Urban Meyer and they didn't get him. And once they did that, you can't keep the coach. Just think about it. If you're in a business and they try to hire your replacement and they don't get it, they say, hey, by the way, you're good for now.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Marilyn, thank you very much for the call. Nick is up next. Hey, Nick, go right ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, Nick, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
I'm sorry. Can I call? This first-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
Called about the Brett USA guy.
Yeah.
And to me, I look at the college football as it's brought in more revenue than and savings era than ever before. Now, maybe that's just adapting to college football. But if you look at the pro football, everything up north is dominating when the South really doesn't have a pro football team besides New Orleans and Tampa, Tom Brady.
Right. Nashville.
I was curious that on the playoffs, if they would have put somebody like Cincinnati in there, do you think the reviews have been even better, even though they lost to Georgia by close 3 points?
No, I don't think this year that there was going to be a tremendous audience anyway. I think the season, some of it comes from exhaustion. The college football, this has been, we talk about the players. I think the fans are fairly exhausted as well. And Friday was January 1st. So you go from January 1st, where everyone's excited, we're watching the playoffs, we're watching the Peach Bowl, we're watching other games, and then you have to go through 2 weekends before you get to the championship game. And I think the sport just runs out of gas outside of in Ohio or Alabama and a few other places. Most people have already moved on. The season's over for them.
Well, I just thought of it maybe as a brand. People got tired of the brand.
No.
Alabama.
And by the way, I don't even think had the game been great, it would have made a significant difference. It would not have reached where it was a year ago. But I'm more hung up on the buildup. But I'll say this for the final time. But if you're a sports fan and you know the college football championship is on Monday night, and on Saturday you watch from 1 o'clock until midnight, 3 NFL games. You do the same thing the next day. Remember, there was an additional NFL game this year because of trying to make up for revenue. And by the time you wake up Monday morning, you're already looking forward to the next round. You've got to be reminded that there is a college football game tonight, and that doesn't work. It's not like the Super Bowl where you hear about it for a week. College football championship game outside of Alabama and Ohio, nobody knew it was on until that day. We're up against a break. We appreciate you being here. 30 minutes remaining, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show, and you're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Happy New Year. How are you?
I am doing great. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I just wanted to ask you, I need a stock tip, but before I do, I need to get some information. So you came there the last 2 years that Bear was there, right?
Correct.
Okay, just in time to hear these Bama fans saying he's too old, he's got to go, he's killing the was any of that, or am I just having...
Yeah, you know, there was some of that. It happened earlier, though. You know, I wasn't around, but in 1969, people were wondering if Coach Bryant was too old. Now, toward the end of his career, his last year was 82. He won the title in 78, 79, and had a chance to three-peat in 80. 81, he broke Amos Alonzo Stagg's record, so that was the main focus. And really, in the 82 season, I don't know why I remember this like it was yesterday, they were the number two team in the country when they went to Knoxville and were upset there for the first time in a decade. And that really began the unraveling of his final season. So he was in pretty good stead until the very end.
Yep, and then so the Bama fans pushed him out. He's got to go. Everything he's done, and ended up, he died really immediately after he retired, right? So thanks, Bama fans.
Yeah, he died 5 weeks later.
Yeah, I'm so excited because Saban almost went to Texas, so I got to see what it'd be like to have Mike Price again. And this dynasty thing, your dynasty is Saban. You're Saban, and I cannot wait till he goes. I can't wait till he retires. Because it's going to be so wonderful hearing all of these geniuses scream and cry and whine. Because who are you going to go get? Gus Malzahn? Dabo? So I just can't wait. You know, half the people on the radio don't even know who Bear Bryant was, other than a name. And it kills me to listen. So really, here's my stock tip I needed. So with Alabama football over, what ED medication should I buy stock in?
Yeah, let me give it to you off the air, Mike. I don't want to create a rush on the tip that I'm going to give you. Ken is up next. Ken in Texas, go right ahead.
Hello.
Hey there.
Can you hear me?
I can. Yes.
I'm calling BS on that last interview you had.
Okay.
And possibly the article. Does he not realize that the fabric of Texas and the Southeast is football all the way down to high school? I mean, Allen just built a stadium a few years ago that has skyboxes in it. Now, why wouldn't a kid from California, who doesn't care about football, or Colorado, want to go to somewhere where they can play in front of 102,000, I graduated from A&M, 102,000 people who are passionate. L.A. doesn't care about football. They don't care about high school football. I don't know. What's the big power in L.A., Mater D? But they go all over the country, those graduates. And he said he covered Texas Tech. Did he ever go down to a game with Odessa Permian and Midland Lee, one of the great rivalries of Texas high school football? The community's closed down for high school football. So if I'm a great high school football player from Colorado or California or Hawaii or whatever, that's a great selling point. And plus the fact you're going to play, if you go to Alabama, probably the greatest football, college football coach ever. I don't think he focused on the fabric of football in the South and the Southeast.
Completely agree, Ken. It was a pretty weak approach. George is up next in Tennessee. Hello, George. George, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Wonderful.
And, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. I'm a big fan of your show. And, you know, we're just frustrated here in Tennessee because I go back to the years when they played single wing. And, you know, they're always good. Always had a good coach. And lately, things just been going sideways. And you're going to lose some people to NASCAR and WWE, and they can't recruit, and looks like some shenanigans going on up there with the head coach and athletic director. And I was just wondering what you thought about what was going on there and how they can get to the level where they were at one time.
Well, George, my original thought was Tennessee had to be patient and get behind someone. So that's what they did. They got behind Jeremy Pruitt, and now it looks like they're trying to get behind running him out of town. So I think we need to see where this goes. Doesn't look like it's going very well. And the real concern, even if Jeremy Pruitt survives this investigation, he's going to be damaged goods.
Right. Well, it looks like that they're kind of forcing him out of there.
Yeah, and I think it's a catch 22. If he's already, I mean, this program has been in limbo now for 3 weeks. He is. I can't imagine trying to do anything when the university shuts you down. So, on one hand, they're better off getting rid of him. On the other hand, it goes against everything that we just got through laying out as a template for success. The school needs to speak out soon. They need to come up with a plan, and someone needs to let Phil Fulmer do his job. He is the athletic director. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, we made it to the end of the week. Appreciate you being a part of the show. We will see you on Monday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.